Brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. With Saver, you earn unlimited 3% cash back on dining, entertainment, and at grocery stores. That's unlimited cash back on ordering takeout from home, or unlimited cash back on tickets to concerts and games. So grab a bite, grab a seat, and earn unlimited 3% cash back with the Saver Card. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Welcome to the Songwriter Connection, the podcast that delves deep into the art and heart of songwriting. Each week, we gather around the dining room table to uncover the stories behind the songs. We invite you to join us on a journey to the creative minds of the songwriters who shape the melodies of our lives. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Lenihan.
Well, thank you for joining us once again for the Songwriter Connection podcast. We are very glad that you are here. We're on the phone today. He's out on the road in Utah with Bobby Shitwood. And I'll tell you, my good friend Jennifer Heron told me all about this guy. And I've been listening to his music, and I am very excited for you to make a connection. Listen to this right now, just for a second.
When I look into your eyes, it's like watching the night sky. Or a beautiful sunrise.
Well, I want to give you a taste of Bobby Shitwood, and that's not one of his songs. That's Jason Mraz. But Bobby, you and Jason collaborated on that, didn't you? Good to have you, Bobby, by the way. Good to have you.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, man. Yeah, great to be here. Yeah. So I met Jason years ago through a mutual friend, and he had a lot of songs I thought, you know, could possibly cross over. Uh-huh. And when he released that song, man, I was like, man, I want to cut that. So I reached out to him, and he said, yeah, take it away. And so not only did I get to cut that song, obviously he penned that song. So, what he calls his vocationist, Coco Rivera.
I love that. Yes.
Vocationist, Coco Rivera, who kind of, you know, goes with him on everything and co-wrote several songs with him, Grammy winning guy. I got to visit with him as well. He had visited a friend of mine up in Cody, and we got to hang out. So us three, Jason and Toka and myself, decided that we were going to cut this. So I went to Nashville, and we cut all the instrumentation and the vocals. And then Toka said, hey, send me everything over. I want to do some stuff on this. And so he was in Jason's studio in L.A., and so he put all the background vocals on that tune.
Wow.
And there's only one other song out there that has pretty much the exact same background vocals that Jason's original does. And that's the song. And so it was really fun, really awesome song to cut.
And it's just a beautiful song. And you want to talk about melody, that's got it in spades. And I'll tell you what, this is a songwriting podcast, so I start with a cover, right? But you know what? You know what it is, Bobby? As an artist, you have to take a song and make it your own, and you absolutely did it with that song. You really did.
Yeah, and I've heard that a ton. You know, there's a definite difference, obviously, in Jason's voice and mine, and I was able to kind of, you know, pin my own sound to it, so it was good.
Absolutely. And as a songwriter, it helps you do that, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You're out there cutting your own songs, writing your own songs, and you have that sound that you're kind of used to yourself. And so you can make that transition a little easier.
You've had a lot of success in the business. You are one of those road warriors. In fact, you're playing in Utah this week. Where are you at?
So I would just leave in Salt Lake. I'm going back home now. Okay. Did a couple shows out here, and now heading back home. I don't tour near as heavy as I used to. It used to be pretty, pretty intense.
Yeah, like 300 dates a year, I understand, huh? That was crazy.
300, that was the highest. Now, that was right after I signed my record deal. And so when I was with the Universal Music Group, we had just released was I Won't Give Up.
Yep.
And so you had to have that tour support behind it. And, man, I was on the road all the time. It was insane.
They had you out there. In fact, even had you on the Dr. Phil show, I understand, huh?
Yeah, so that was actually part of, and that was another mutual friend. You know, we were talking about different things and the strain. I was married at the time. I had two little girls then. Aww. Yeah.
Yeah.
And two little girls, and I was gone so much, and it is that's some pressure on a marriage, I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah.
And anyways, it ended up that there was a discussion about, you know, doing a show with Dr. Phil about what that looks like. Mm-hmm. So ended up talking to Dr. Phil and, you know, he gave us some advice and stuff. And of course, he has lots of friends in the industry as well. So he actually reached out to a couple. Tim McGraw was one of them.
Wow.
You know, and, you know, talking about the advice when you're doing that kind of work. It was interesting. It was a little different, you know, outside my comfort zone, but I'm still married today. So there's that.
Good. Good for you. And it must've been so hard to be away from the girls. You know, I just can't imagine.
It was tough.
Yeah. You know, burning up the phone, you know, doing the FaceTime thing. Oh, gosh.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. It was.
Now,
yep,
you know, this new album you have, you've been working with Cowboy Troy, right? Of Big and Rich.
Yep.
And it's a long awaited album because, you know, your story is pretty amazing. You had to back off the road because of vocal damage, huh? Just overworking it, huh?
Yeah. So it was shortly after I had released I Won't Give Up, and I started having difficulty, you know, having troubles with my pitch and my tone, and mm-hmm. and couldn't figure it out. I don't know if you're familiar with Johnny Bush,
the
huge Texas songwriter.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, with Willie Nelson and that group. And right. Anyways, we shared the same radio promoter. And I was talking to my promoter at the time, and she said, you know what, why don't you reach out to Johnny? And he had some vocal issues as well, some nerve issues. And so we got together and he had me fly down to San Antonio, met with his specialist. And sure enough, I had some nerve damage.
Oh, no.
That was really, you know, kind of cut me back. And it was that time that I knew I had to back off. I couldn't keep up that pace anymore. It was an intense pace for sure.
I can't imagine 300 shows a year. That's just incredible. With all the traveling in between too, it's not healthy.
It was just constant go.
Oh my goodness. It's hard to imagine. And the road is its own challenges, right? Yeah.
No, yep, for sure.
Absolutely.
For sure.
So you're a Texas boy. You grew up in Brownwood, Texas, which is what, outside of Abilene, not too far from Dallas?
Yeah, Brownwood, Texas. It's about a little over an hour from Abilene, kind of southeast.
I got you.
Yeah.
And you've had success on the Texas charts, which is fantastic. I always tell me that's a whole different country. Like, they get their own charts. It's their own thing, right?
It's funny. I was on the Texas charts, you know, when I was playing strictly in Texas and kind of doing that Texas music. And then when I came up to Wyoming, it's very difficult to get back into that scene because you're
really?
No longer
wow.
a Texan. It's the weirdest thing.
Isn't it really? Wow. Thing. Well, what brought you to Wyoming? How'd you end up there?
So the weird story, just how I met my wife, actually. I first left Texas. I had been playing in Texas my entire college career. And I graduated and I said, man, I just want to go out and play some other states and see what other things look like.
Yeah.
And our first show was in Pocatello, Idaho. Now, I was still playing covers at this time for the most part.
Yeah.
And we show up to this club in Pocatello and start playing. And the club owner was not happy with what we were playing. I was playing Alan Jackson and George Strait, and Merle Haggard, you know.
And what did he want?
I know. It's the stuff that I'm used to playing. And after the first couple of days, he said, hey, do you have anything else on your song list? I was like, well, what do you want? And they wanted more rock and stuff like that. I'm like, this is the kind of stuff I've been playing for years, and it works everywhere I go. And he said, well, it doesn't work here.
Oh, my goodness. You're kidding me.
No, it was insane. Talk about a wake-up call.
Wow.
And then my drummer was from Cody, Wyoming, and he says, hey, you know what? I know a little bitty club there, Cody. We can at least get some gas money. And I was like, well, let's go. So anyway, spent the week in Cody, and I met my wife up there. The rest is history.
How about that? Now, you know, I read that you started in college, Waco. You went to Waco, where you studied aviation science. You were going to be a pilot, weren't you?
Yes. Yeah, that's and I finished all that. I got my licenses and commercial license and stuff, and flew commercially when I had to.
Kidding. Wow.
Yeah, sure did. And that was my dad's one stipulation was I had to get my degree and he would support me any way he could, you know, in music, not so much financially, but, you know, through his support behind me 100%, you know, playing music. But he just, that was his one stipulation, to get that degree. And, you know, I'll be danged if it didn't, when I had my vocal trouble, that's what I fell back on. So it was definitely a thing.
Now, do you still fly today? You know, not commercially.
I do. Yeah. So I do some contract work for some air ambulance companies.
Wow.
So if I'm not out playing or something like that, or somebody needs something real quick and, you know, there's somebody sick that needs to be moved, then I must definitely jump in there and help out where I can.
Do you fly to any of your gigs?
Nope. I could, but no, I typically don't do that. We'd have to have to get the band and equipment and stuff like that.
Yeah, I imagine it would get pretty expensive. It wouldn't make sense.
It would be insanely expensive to get the size of jet that you'd need.
Right. And it ain't about the money, right? It's about the money.
Oh, no. Yeah. Not always.
Absolutely not. So you spent some time with the service. Thank you for your service. What'd you do? Where'd you go? And your whole family, that was just handed down, right? You served. You served. So tell me about that.
I did. So I was in the National Guard. Wyoming National Guard is where I served. And that, you know, that allowed me a little bit of flexibility as far as, you know, still playing music and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I knew I wanted to serve. Like I said, my grandfather, Greg, as far as I could trace, we've all been military.
Yeah. How about that?
And so I knew I had to. Yeah. And so I did. I went into the Wyoming National Guard. I was artillery. You know, I don't have any, you know, grand stories to tell. I was actually never deployed. Just a lot of support stuff, but you know, I was there. I was moved, inspired by so many people when I was touring and on the road, and what that looked like, because I met so many soldiers.
I bet.
And heard, you know, their stories. There was a song that I wrote, that just an acoustic track that I did in my own studio and released it. And that's, I think it's out there. You can get it. But that was inspired by a soldier that I'd met. We were playing a concert in Reno, Nevada. Mm. And, after the show, I met some folks and this soldier came up and he said, you know, I appreciate everything you do and kind of really, he loved our show. And then I asked about him a little bit and he was really struggling. He had convinced his brother to go into the military with him. They were both deployed to Iraq, and his brother was killed in action. It was such an intense story that, you know, I wrote a song about it, and I just felt like, you know, this is the time. I got to do this. So I took, you know, months off from the road, probably 3 or 4 months off from the road for training and stuff like that. And then of course did my annual stuff and my weekend stuff, but I was so moved by his story and I felt like instead of standing behind these guys, I needed to at least link arms and be beside them. And
what a story. What was the name of that song, Bobby? So we can look it up. What was it called? We'll try to find that out.
It's called A Soldier's Ballad.
Soldier's Ballad. Well, thank you for that. Just fantastic. Wow. Unbelievable. So your new project, it's been a long time coming. And so how'd you hook up with Cowboy Troy? You guys had a song out there called Twisted, which we're going to play in just a little bit. Tell me about that relationship.
Yeah. So I met Troy years ago. We were playing Cheyenne Frontier Days. And we had both played. And after the show, we kind of got together and we were visiting back and forth. We had some mutual friends down in Nashville. And so we were talking and of course, not too long after I met him, John Rich and Big Kenny kind of split up. You know, they weren't doing their Big and Rich thing too much. Mm-hmm. And Troy started his own management company, his artist management company. And so he called me up and he said, "Hey, man, you know, what do you think about teaming up?" And I was all in. Troy's a great guy, just a great human being. And let's go for it. And so I was under his management company for a little while, right before I got signed. And anyways, we stayed friends, and about 2018, I was kind of getting over my vocal issues and stuff. And I wrote this song called Twisted, and I thought, man, this could be really fun if Troy jumped in here and wrote some stuff in it too. And so I sent it over to him. He said, "Man, this sounds really good. Let's give it a go." So he wrote kind of his part, and we kind of collaborated a little bit on the chorus and some of the other verse. And then, of course, 2020 hit. About the time we were going to start recording and whatnot. And so that kind of got pushed to the back burner. And that was a couple of years on the back burner before we finally got into the studio and got it recorded. And
I'll bet you had a blast. It sounds like you're just having fun.
Oh, just super fun. Troy's just super fun to work with anyways. And putting that one together was it was a blast.
Fantastic. Tell me about the writing, because it's a songwriting podcast. So tell me about the idea and how it cultivated and came to be.
So Twisted, you know, I think on that particular song, I was just starting kind of with a chord structure.
Yeah. And sometimes that's how it starts, huh? With a little bit of a progression or something. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was this chord progression that I really liked. And I thought, what can I throw in there? And I started tinkering with some words and stuff. And then, you know, one thing leads to another. And by the time you get to the end product, you've revised it so many times.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like it sometimes doesn't even look like what you started with. But
we've always said that the best songs are rewritten, not written, you know, right?
There you go.
Right.
They got to be.
Yeah.
They got to be. So I just kind of bounce around back and forth until we finally get to where we got.
That's cool. Well, let's give it a spin. This is Twisted, and this made it into the top 100. Congratulations on that. It's Cowboy Troy along with our guest, Bobby Chitwood. You're listening to the Songwriter Connection podcast.
Fireflies flying in the middle of the night. You and me, girl, holding on tight. A little bit of young love, maybe it's dumb lust. The lakeside, sparks keep flying, dancing in the air. There's plenty of love we can't share. And if the truck ain't rocking, we ain't doing things right. Your kind of love has got me, it's got me twisted. You got me torn inside out. Well, you got people talking about how I'm twisted, acting just like. This thing, you're the only girl, got me thinking about a ring. Tossing and turning, can't get my mind straight. Calling all my friends to help me carry this weight. Started out holding hands, love's got me in a trance. It's the first conversation and the first slow dance. Whispering and talking in hushed tones. Girl, you're the only cure for my love, Jones. We're on the phone or we're always texting. We have a truly deep-rooted connection. It's plain as day, girl. How could you have missed it? Your love's got me twisted. It's got me twisted. You got me torn inside out. Well, you got people I'm talking about. How I'm twisted. Acting just like your clown. Dancing, juggling every time. Torn inside out. Well, you got people talking about how I'm twisted, acting just like your clown, dancing, juggling. Every time you come around, every time you come around, I get twisted. We'll be right back.
That's Bobby Chitwood. Little help from Cowboy Troy, huh? Man, what a blast. Good song.
Yeah.
Twisted.
Yeah, man, thank you.
Yeah, on the Songwriter Connection podcast, Bobby Chitwood is our guest. On the phone, coming back from Utah, where he just played some gigs at in Salt Lake City, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I spent a lot of time. It's pretty close to Wyoming, so, you know, I don't have to travel too far away from the family. And I'm really hyper aware of being away from family anymore, as much way before.
I'll bet. It's, how old are your girls now? They're getting big.
I have one who's a senior in high school, and the other one is a college. Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's great. Congratulations. Yeah. What are their names?
So Dallas and Austin are their names, actually.
Texas names. I love it.
Yeah.
Dallas.
Yeah.
And
now we changed the ending, so it's not a D-A-L-L-A-S, it's a Y-S, and Austin is a Y-N, so it just kind of changed it up a little bit, but
yeah,
Dallas and Austin are two girls.
I love it, fantastic. A Cowboys fan?
We have to be. I was raised down there, and I just have to be. Yeah, I would have been disowned from my family if I wasn't.
Well, I can agree with that. I understand. I believe it or not, and I don't say this so you'd feel sorry for me, but I grew up in Cleveland, and I continue to be a Cleveland Browns fan. And I know it's hard. It's tough.
You just got to be. I mean, it's just win or lose. Here I am. You know.
Same here, but it's lose and lose for me.
Yeah, as the case on both sides for sure. Yeah.
Now, listen. When you were growing up, your family was very musical. In fact, your granddad was a gospel singer, huh? And had a record out.
He did, yeah, with Chapel Records back in the '60s. Yep, it was called "Good Morning God."
And I understand you covered that. You would play that.
That's how I learned to play the guitar with my grandfather's song.
Yeah.
Yep. I had my grandfather's old guitar, and my mother taught me the chords. Just a three chord song, you know, and went through it. And I think I played those three chords for 10 years before I learned anything new, you know, until I got in college.
Yeah, and you start throwing the minors in the sevens, right?
Yeah, started learning after that. Yeah.
So you learned on your grandpa's guitar, huh?
I did. Yeah, sure did.
Dude, there's got to be a story. There got to be a song in there, don't you think? Did you write that?
I am certain that song has been written, but trust me, I've tinkered with that idea a ton, and I just can't get happy enough with the idea I've come up with. So,
you know what I've been telling folks anymore, and I don't really care when I go to a radio station, I'm like, I don't care if it's been written. If it has been written, let's find a different angle on it and let's write it better.
Yep.
Okay.
Right. Because,
you know, if you think about it, everything has been written, right, Bobby?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's just a different idea, a different angle, just like you said, you know.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Well, that's cool. So it's been in your blood from the beginning.
And
And I know you wanted to be a pilot. You studied to be a pilot, but you started playing for beer money and tips in college. And all of a sudden, this becomes a thing, right? You get addicted to performing, right? Is that how it happened for you?
I was in college as my freshman year. And I'd never played anywhere before. I just at home, you know, plinking on the guitar. Yeah. But it was a Jimmy Dean Country Showdown, I think is what the name of it was called.
Jimmy Dean. Wow.
Yeah. So, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to give that a go. And I was addicted. I was hooked ever since. Wow. Walking on that stage. That was it.
That's all right. You know, there is an appeal to that. And once you get a taste of that, it's hard. It's like blood in the water, right?
You know? Oh, it is. Yep. You just can't get enough. Just keep going.
Well, I want to talk about the single you got out there right now, Red Neckery. As soon as you see that title, and I've always heard publishers tell me, you got to have the kind of title that when I see it, I got to hear it. You know, that makes me want to hear it.
Right.
And when I see Red Neckery, I go, I got to know what this is all about. So tell us about this
song. For sure.
Yeah.
So we were driving around, my daughter and I, we were driving around. I don't even remember where we were going. Anyway, she was asking me about, you know, stuff I did when I was a kid, you know, stupid stuff that we all do when we're kids. And growing up kind of in the country, our idea of stupid is different than city idea of stupid.
Yeah, this is very much true. Yeah.
So we're talking about this kind of stuff, and she kind of chuckled and she kind of looked down and shook her head. She said, "Dad, you're such a redneck." And I was like, well, you know, and redneckery came at somewhere in that conversation. Redneckery popped up.
Wow.
Just kind of the action of being a redneck, I think, is what she did. She's really literal and stuff. She's on speech and debate and all this kind of stuff.
Wow.
Anyway, she had to assign a word to it. So that was it.
So let me ask you, does she get a co-write on the song?
She does.
She does.
She actually gets,
awesome.
Yep. I actually give her co-write on that one. And then one other song, Bible and Sweet Tea, that she had a bigger in that one. So, she got writer on that too.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. And let's spin. This is Redneckery. Our guest is Bobby Chitwood on the Songwriter Connection podcast.
Redneckery. Mouth full of chew and a cup full of spit. Dirty dang habit ain't never gonna quit. It's business in the front, it's a party in the back. Got backwoods smarts to make up for things he lacks. Down in the south we got a name for these things. Just kick on back and enjoy a little bit of redneckery. Out in the sticks got a stick full of fire. He got hillbilly smarts if he's down to the wire. Side hustle brew, it's just part of the deal. Making pockets full of money to pay for them bills. Hardcore corn, make that bottle of ski. Just kick the boots up and enjoy a little bit of redneckery. Well, it's a Bud Light beer getting shot by the kid for some crazy things that some company did. It's 90 miles an hour down Tulane Road. Just having a little fun out of running the pole. Near that city scene, come on, chill out and enjoy a little bit of redneckery. Without falling, gun up in the window, big old flag flying, running full throttle, he ain't scared of dying. Working and playing in the scorching heat, now big old mud bog, it's time for a little redneckery. Well, it's a Bud Light beer, getting shot by the kid for some crazy things that some company did. It's 90 miles an hour down Tulane Road, just having a little fun out of running the pole. Chill out and enjoy a little bit of redneckery. Play around that city scene. Come on, chill out and enjoy a little bit of redneckery.
Brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. With Saver, you earn unlimited 3% cash back on dining, entertainment, and at grocery stores. That's unlimited cash back on ordering takeout from home, or unlimited cash back on tickets to concerts and games. So grab a bite, grab a seat, and earn unlimited 3% cash back with the Saver Card. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection with Dave Linehan. Find us on Facebook and YouTube at The Songwriter Connection Podcast. And find Dave at thedaveconnection.com. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
Well, thank you for joining us once again. And I do remind you at this point, if you're listening on YouTube, please click that like and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. You don't know what that does for us. We really thank you for being out there and spreading the word. Now at 3 million worldwide listeners, and we thank you for listening to the Songwriter Connection podcast. Also, I'd like to remind you, every Wednesday morning when we publish, week in, week out, Wednesday morning, new connection, cup of coffee, you have it. And we put out a couple of songs on the Spotify playlist, which is Songwriter Connection, the songs. Check it out, stream it, shuffle it, and you'll love it. So thank you for joining us. And thanks to Bobby Chitwood, Talking From the Road. This guy at one time did 300 songs a year. Oh my gosh, I still cannot imagine that. And I know you had some vocal problems, so I wanted to ask you right away, and recovering from that, because I'm very conscious of this. Some people just, you can destroy your voice if you don't use that instrument right. Any advice there for folks that are singing a lot, especially here in Nashville, but wherever you're listening, how do you take care of your instrument there, Bobby?
You know, the biggest advice I could, if you're out there performing a lot, and my vocal coach told me, my throat doctors told me a ton of, don't sing when you're sick. And it's really great advice. It's definitely the right way to go. When I was out there, you know, I had a crew, you know, when you're kind of the front guy, it's, you have the crew, you have sound guys, you have venues, you have all these things you're worried about, you know, to get that show done. And I sang many, many times when I shouldn't have sang, 100%. And, you know, it's being able to draw that line and say, I just can't sing tonight, and you know, heal a little bit.
And it's hard because you got people that are waiting to see you, and you've got your crew counting on you. And there's the saying, the show must go on, but you've got to take care of yourself first, don't you?
Yeah, and you know what? It was finally put in perspective, you know, by Johnny Bush, and he said, you know, the deal is, man, you go out there and you do that show, and yeah, everybody's happy, but at some point, you destroy yourself enough that you can't do any more shows, and then nobody's happy.
No, that's true.
You got to strike that balance, and he was 100% right. Absolutely.
I've been thinking a lot in praying for Cody Johnson, who had a similar situation, singing while he was sick, and he had ended up with sinus issues in problems, and then he popped an eardrum too, right? So he's some time and coming off the road for just a little while. So God bless him.
Yeah. And you just got to, for sure.
You had to. Did all this happen like prior to COVID or during the COVID thing? What I'm asking is, did COVID help in that way to rest your voice a little bit? Because you can't go out and perform.
So it gave me extra rest, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
But this was actually all prior to COVID.
All prior to that, yeah.
It all happened prior to COVID. And that's when I got together with Troy, and I was going to kind of, all right, it's time to get back out there and see, you know, do some shows and see what I can do. And then, of course, COVID gave me that extra bit of rest, I guess you could say. Glass half full kind of guy, you know?
Absolutely. You know, this podcast grew out of COVID. I was just bored and bored silly. And a friend of mine in the radio business called and he said, hey, be on my podcast. I go, only if you show me how to make a podcast, because I got an idea, you know?
Perfect.
So, it's funny. Some good things did come out of COVID. Little extra rest for you.
You're very right. You're very right. For sure.
So after a while, you come back with this new album, Redneckery, and that's just me. You know what? I wanted to ask you too. I'm sorry to backtrack, but I have a squirrel brain. Squirrel.
You know, so do I. Yep. Don't worry about it.
Has Troy ever come out on the road with you? Have you guys performed together?
No. The only time we've actually performed together was during a country radio seminar.
Okay, serious.
Down in Nashville.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yep. And that's when I was under his management company, and I got up and performed several songs with him. They were one of his own. All I did was background vocals with him, though. Mm-hmm. I was just up on stage with him.
But still, that's cool. Wow. Must
have been a blast. No, it was fun. Yeah, it was a blast. Yeah, like I said, he's such a great dude and so fun to work with.
That's awesome. You know, your new record is streaming everywhere. People listen to it. You're going to love it. It's Redneckery, and that's just me. So it's got a dual title, and there's a reason for that, right?
Yeah. So the Redneckery part was just because I was so moved by my daughter's, the way she kind of read me. I just love that. And I was like, I got to put that in there somehow. But I knew the title of this record was going to have to be That's Just Me. So coming away from my old record deal, there were so many thumbs that you have on you that you can only do so much.
Right.
And so when I got to going on this record, I knew I wanted to have a hand in writing every one of the songs on the record. And then I wanted to write one song that's just me. This is who I am. And not only that, I also wanted to kind of get a little tip of hat to my father, who just, he was always really adamant about, everything that you do in life, it boils down to your character. Mm. Don't ever compromise your character.
I agree.
And one of the things in this song was the, how a man's handshake, back in the day was it, you didn't need a contract or something to write,
That
was gold.
Yep.
And so that kind of shaped who I am, and that kind of worked its way into this song as well. So
this is a very highly personal song then, right?
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Very, very close for sure.
Did you have a co-writer on this, or is this something you brought?
I did not. This was all me. And that was intentional.
Sometimes there are songs that you just have to write you yourself. And I know we do a lot of the co-writing here in Nashville, but there are certain things that you just got to tackle yourself, huh?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And this is one of those songs where I knew I had to do it myself. It took me, a bit to write and get it to where I wanted it. But this one had to define me. And I think there's only really one way to do that. And that's you're the only hand on the song.
One of the title cuts from the new record from Bobby Chitwood. This is called That's Just Me on the Songwriter Connection podcast. Give us one more second.
I'm a little bit of rock and roll. I'm a little bit of blues and soul. I don't stray far from the country. I may look a little late, but I'm a little bit right. Somewhere in the middle is where I pick my fights. And I am just a simple man. Don't take much to figure who I am. I'm just a handshake kind of guy, living in a world that don't give a rip. A man's word ain't worth spit. Just a handshake kind of guy, living in a world that ain't fit. I'm over it. I wish this world would look up and see that's just me. Well, I can find my peace, a flat bottom skip, spending my day adrift, just passing my time, casting a line, not worrying about what ifs. And Lord knows I'm a simple man. It don't take much to figure who I am. Just a handshake kind of guy, living in a world that don't give a rip. A man's word ain't worth spit. Just a handshake kind of guy, living in a world that ain't fit. I'm over it. Lord knows I'm just a simple man. It don't take much to figure who I am. I'm just a handshake kind of guy, living in a world that don't give a rip. A man's word ain't worth spit. Just a handshake kind of guy, living in a world that ain't fit. I'm over it. I wish this world would look up and see maybe that's just me.
truth is there, just look up and see. Maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just me.
So I'm doing this, I'm cutting a new single. I've never done this before. I'm doing it outside this record.
Yeah.
But I got together with this company called Hydrate Heroes, and they do, it's a sports drinks, what it is.
Oh, cool.
Anyways, they're, most of the military bases carry it. And, I met him at a celebrity golf tournament, a few years back. And, he wanted me to write a song. And so I wrote a song, got together with a buddy of mine. He's actually a former drill sergeant of mine when I went to basic training.
No kidding.
And, yeah. And so we got together and co-wrote, and I wrote with a buddy of mine in Nashville, and we just, had to put this together. And so this particular song, when it's done, it hasn't even hit the studio yet, but when it's done, it's going to be, it'll be a QR code on the side of their packaging.
Awesome.
For their sports drink. So yeah, that's pretty exciting.
That's really cool. Well, congratulations on that. I look forward to hearing that song. Absolutely.
Yeah,
speaking about Nashville, friends, you wrote with, my buddy, as we call him, Christmas Corey Lee Barker, huh? Isn't he a great songwriter?
Oh, he's just amazing. And just a cool dude to talk and bounce ideas off of. His brain is so full of great lyrics. It just blows me away.
You know, there's this song, this movie that was shot in Nashville called Music City Mistletoe, and he wrote a couple of songs with Chantel, who produced and wrote the song, the movie. And he plays a guy busking in the streets. I love that she put him in the movie. So I got
right.
I was at the premiere the other night and got to speak with Corey just a little bit and talk with him. He's a great guy. I mentioned him because you wrote with him the song That Dash. And this is a powerful song. It just, when I heard it, it blew me away. And you got to be real proud of this song, don't you?
It's my favorite song on the record.
Is it?
It really is.
It's mine too.
Yeah.
I have to say, honestly, it's mine. It's mine too. Again and again and again, you're going to want to hear this song. So tell me about how this came about and the writing of that song, That Dash.
So a buddy of mine, we were talking and gabbing about different things and talking about how quick life just moves. It just moves. And next, you know, like me, I got, you know, two kids in high school, then I got one graduating, you know, it just moves so fast. And we were talking about it. And, you know, we talk about everything and what defines us as people and where our story is written. And so we started talking about, you know, we got a start date, and we have an end date.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to pack everything in our lives into that little bitty dash between our start date and our end date. And we started talking about it. I said, man, there's a song in that. I promise you there's a song in that. And so I started messing with it a little bit. It was getting close to time we were going to start cutting this record. And I knew this song had to be on it. So I talked to a buddy of mine down there, Kent Wells. You may be familiar with him. A lot for Dolly.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Okay.
And he said, hey, man, I got a great guy. Let me hook you guys up and we'll go from there. And so, anyways, got together with Corey, Christmas Corey, and started bouncing ideas off and he came back with something that was a little too up tempo. And I went back with a little less tempo, but lyrically we were on the same page the whole time. And I think we created just a great song and really drew into what I wanted to see out of this song. It's an awesome song.
I think so too. And we're going to take you out with that song. But before we go, Bobby, where can people find you online and everything, all the socials and things? Where's the best place to get with you?
Oh, shoot. Yeah. All the socials, all the, you know, Apple Music and Spotify and, you know, all the normal places, I guess, you know, that's out there now.
Yep.
Instagram and those kind of things. You catch up with me just about anywhere.
And you've got your own web page. I was on it.
There's a website out there and there is a contact thing in there. And, I usually get shuffled emails, you know, from time to time, from my manager and, hey, you know, let's take a look at this. And so if I happen to see an email, I always reply when I get one.
And what is the name of that? Where do we find in that webpage? Where is that?
That's just bobbychitwood.com.
There. Well, how could that be any more easier?
pretty straightforward. Just go to hit the contact tab and submit that, and they usually find find their way to me. So,
and I imagine there's tour information. People can find out where they can catch you next too, huh?
Yep. There'll be tour information on there. Any dates that I have booked and charity events that I have going on, they'll be on there as well.
Bobby, I can't thank you enough for taking time in your busy schedule to chat with us here on the Songwriter Connection podcast. All the best. Continued success with you, okay?
Yeah. Hey, thanks so much for having me on. I've enjoyed it.
Stay in touch. This is Bobby Chitwood, our guest, and That Dash on the Songwriter Connection.
We've all done it. Walked through a sea of headstones, going to visit our family at their final resting place. We remember stories, we see names, beloved father, son, mother, and daughter. We see a start date, and we see an end date. But between those numbers is the one symbol on that stone that holds an entire life story. That dash. Simple, straight line for me to be, but there's a whole lot more to it than what our eyes can see. There's a light tied up in that little line that can't be measured, a journey full of love and loss, heartaches and treasures. It's sitting on a front porch, hearing Grandpa spin his stories about way back when's, what might have been's, where he went on to glory. It's Mom and Dad teaching right from wrong. It's climbing ladders, it's taking falls. No, the lifetime ain't those numbers front and back. It's all there in that dash. First day of pre-K, well, there's tears in Mama's eyes, and you're just learning how to keep those colors tween lines. And it's your first job, first car, first time you steal a kiss, and it's dropping to a knee and praying she says yes. Well, then it's holding your first baby, knowing life has changed forever, and walking down the aisle trying to force a smile, no clue how to surrender. It's learning time is not your friend, it's getting hugs while you still can, loving every step that got you where you're at. It's all there in that day. Loving life until the very last. It's all there in that dash. Seems pretty simple, straight line from me to be.
We hope you enjoyed this intimate glimpse into the world of songwriting and found inspiration in the stories shared by our talented guests. Remember, the magic of music lies not only in the notes and chords, but in the emotions and experiences woven into every lyric. Until next time, keep listening, keep creating, and keep the melodies alive.
This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.